Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Boys and girls, welcome to episode 251 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, joined today by my usual compatriots, Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
Well, we begin the march to episode 500. This podcast will never go anywhere, ever.
Did you guys have a good week? Good week? Good weekend? Did you do anything fun, exciting?
I made patacos for St. Patrick's Day. That's what I did.
Potato
tacos?
Yeah, that baked potato with taco toppings instead of...
It's actually quite delicious.
I highly recommend it. If you've never done that before, take some time.
I don't know if I'd call that a pataco.
I mean, what would you call it? A baked potato taco? Because you know what? It's easier.
Or like a loaded taco baked potato.
I mean, loaded taco baked potato. A loaded baked potato is with cheese, sour cream, and bacon.
Right.
And this has ground beef, cheese, sour cream.
Yeah.
Bell peppers.
So when do we get the stuffed baked potato line of Pokemon? Do we get that variation, huh?
Next one, you know, we're going to get a potato Pokemon, and then they're going to, the evolved form is going to be a baked one, and then a mashed
and then a
variant.
Loaded. No, it'll just be loaded. Yeah. Like, it'll be, right, it'll just be baked, and then loaded.
We get the half brown version. The baby Pokemon's called Spud. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Anyway,
yeah,
this isn't a show about potatoes. It's a show about Pokemon.
It could like Pokemon, be a show about potato Pokemon, though.
It could be.
It could
It could be. We're not there yet, though. Maybe. One day. And then we'll bring this back. We'll bring this whole conversation back.
Right.
We'll just we'll make a show note, and then when the potato Pokemon shows up, we'll go back to episode 251.
Yeah, so pull it's going to remind clip. Me notification.
Love it. If you're new to the show, welcome. This is a show about Pokemon. If this is your first time listening, you are so confused, and I am so sorry. But we talk about all things Pokemon. We talk about the games, the anime, and everything kind of in between. If you missed last week's episode, I highly suggest you go check it out. We had the voice of Ash, Sarah Natocheny, on the show, so definitely go check that out. It was definitely a good chat with her. We love when she's on the show. But today we got a nice full jam-packed show for you. We got some news, and we'll take a quick little break, and then we'll get through a Pokemon mystery.
Actually, it's funny. Because as this podcast was literally, percolating, like doing its pre-stuff, another Pokemon mystery was discovered and also solved. And we'll
two that. Pokemon mysteries?
Yeah, this is a little bit of an older thing, but I didn't realize it until like today. So we can talk about that.
Perfect.
In a second.
We'll talk about Pokemon mystery number one and two in the second half of the show. And then at the very end, we get the Pokemon fact of the week.
Yes.
All good things.
All good things. And I also still have a bunch of cards that I'm just going to like slowly unpack. And if anything good comes out, I'll show the crowd. That's where we are.
I'm not even going to do real card openings, but we'll let you know.
We will. Yeah, I'll pull all of the last threes, and then we'll run through those.
Our card pack openings are becoming more and more efficient as time goes on.
That's right. Slide one, pull three. We know how this goes. It's pull three, right? Not pull four, pull three.
Yeah, pull three.
All right, Christian, Pokemon Legends Z to A and Scarlet Violet connection discovered.
Yeah, so here is the big news. So, all the Pokemon games usually have some little teaser or hint as to what is coming next. That's been going on since at least X and Y. And people have figured out what the connection was, and it's a little bit of a weird one. So, in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, there are multiple locations, buildings, which, you can't enter any of the buildings in Scarlet and Violet because, well, the aforementioned Scarlet and Violet issues. But there are several buildings that are tied to the Paldea Realty. It's a real estate company. And in the trailer for Pokemon Legends ZA, there is actually the same like fake Pokemon language. And letters and stuff comes up. The redevelopment of Lumio City is being run by Paldea Realty. So this is the connection there, is we've actually seen the company that you will be working for probably to redevelop Lumio City, however that works. So there is the first big connection. Not quite as interesting as, oranges and grapes being found in a random hotel in the Galar region, but it's something. So there we go.
Oh, was that what the, I think I totally missed that. Was that the connection for Scarlet and Violet?
Yep. That was the tease. It was one in the hotel there, in the hotel in the London equivalent. You can go, I think it's the London equivalent. There's a couple of different hotels. Anyways, in one of the hotels in Sword and Shield, there is a wing that has half grapes and half oranges, and that is a reference to the Scarlet and Violet Academies.
I kind of love that.
Yeah.
I love when they do that.
So there's little teases, and so they've apparently been teasing all along the Pokemon was entering into the real estate business once again. and so that was our big tease for this one.
Okay. All right, moving on. We've got a new Pokemon anime arc.
Yes, we do.
Is this one of those things where is this because, like, they already had this one planned, not like we were deciding if the show was going to be good or not before we figured it out,
this was planned well in advance. So we've had three technically so far in the Japanese release of Pokemon Horizons. We've had Roy and Lycos, or wow, I totally messed that up. Lycos and Roy's adventure. Then we had the Shining of Tropigos, and then now we are going to be moving into the Terastal debut. So we don't really know too many specific details about this arc for Pokemon Horizons. We have been given like a key visual poster kind of situation that teases what's going on. Essentially, it does look like Roy and Lyco are going to be kind of back down on the ground in Paldea, doing the whole school training business, meeting up with other Pokemon trainers, gym leaders, various people in the Paldea region who are, you know, influential in terms of, you know, training and battling, and we'll be seeing more Terastalizations. So
it's going to basically be like My Hero Academia, but for Pokemon.
I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, it's probably going to harken more back to like, you know, Sun, like the Sun and Moon, the like Sun the Alola region anime, where we got to see them more as like a school gang going forth and doing stuff. Yeah. I think that's kind of more what we're in for in this, except it'll mainly just focus on Lyco and Roy. They're not going to have kind of like a cohort of students with them. But yeah, that's the third official arc, kind of story arc that Pokemon Horizons will have gone through. We've had a bunch of like, you know, episodic adventures in between these things, but in terms of like cohesive story, that yeah, that's the third arc. It's coming.
I'm not going to lie, I did like the... like the group dynamic of Sun and Moon.
Oh yeah, that was the hook. That's what got you, like that's what kept you in for it, because a lot of Sun and Moon was so episodic. The thing that really kept it tight was the characters that, you know, had a nice little right. cohort together as a class. Obviously, Pokemon Horizons is a little different, and we'll probably, who knows, it's going to be a hot minute before this new arc comes to America. You know, we've got the first 12 episodes on Netflix right now, but, you know, it'll be here eventually.
We may be at episode 350 by that point.
You know what? It could be. But that's what we got on the pipeline. So Roy and Lyco are about to have a Terastal debut, whatever that means.
All right. I do want to share this one card that I got because it's freaking adorable. Look at that scream. Look at that scream tail.
My look God. I've never related so hard to a Pokemon in my life.
Just a little feral guy. Just a little feral puffball.
Yeah, we love it. All right, what else we got going on? Let's see. We had a new trading card game set announced.
Yeah, so they've officially announced Twilight Masquerade, which honestly is like the coolest name for a Pokemon set ever. This one is kind of an interesting one in that it's going to be like a not quite release, like simultaneous release, but it's going to be a much quicker turnaround time than what we're used to seeing with the Pokemon trading card game. So obviously Twilight Masquerade kind of talks about, you know, the implication there is it's Ogerpon, the Loyal Three Pokemon from the Kitakami region. We are getting Blood Moon, Ursaluna in this set. There will be six Ogerpon related cards in the set. Four EX cards, one normal Ogerpon card, and then there's actually going to be a trainer card that allows you to basically switch between EX forms, which is, you know, that's a neat one, little thing to have. So, you know, that set will be out in the U.S., I believe, in June, which makes sense because the current set's about to come out this week officially.
All right, well, with that, I've just gone through one side of
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
May 24th. So actually, that comes out a little bit earlier than I expected.
Oh, all right.
Probably read the articles I write.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably helpful. Let's see. All right. We got Roselia, Reverse Holo.
Oh, Relicanth. And the Mirrodon.
It's like the fourth Mirrodon we've gotten.
And an Iron Hands. And a Heavy Baton.
Reverse Holo, Heavy Baton. Oh, that's and a cool Melmetal.
Yeah, Melmetal. Hey, you know, we might get Melmetal here in the new Pokemon Legends game.
Oh, yeah. So we got Licky Licky.
Oh, there we go. Look at that.
This is the
Bronzor. Staring at a gear and wondering what his life could have been.
Oh, and a mirror. It looks like it's a mirror.
Oh, is it a mirror?
Yeah. Mirror on the wall. It is a mirror inside of a gear. Oh, because the move here is mirror attack.
So. Oh, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Let's see. We got another Relicanth.
Nice. A boxed order. An Arbok.
Oh, an Arbok. Man, I love the design of Arbok. A Dun Dun Sparse.
Man, gotta love.
A Whimsicott.
Carkle.
Carkle.
That's actually. Oh, look at that. Gordon.
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 Primordial Beatdown. Rescue Board.
Rescue Board.
Padove.
Look at that cute little bird.
Then Drampa.
Well, that's a cute pony,
though. I love this so much.
Electabuzz. Oh. Explorer's Guidance. Full art.
That's a pretty cool art.
That's a cool one. Torquette. So this is why I didn't go through. Oh, look at that. Litten, go through all of the packs because we're basically going through all the packs with the reverse holos. Raging Bolt EX card. That's a nice one. Lil Mac 426, hello. This is my first time getting to see you guys live. I've been listening on Spotify since last year and have listened up through episode 215. Lil Mac.
That's dedication. Welcome to the show.
You're one of the heroes, man. What's a cute Pikachu card?
That's the cutest Pikachu, but it also looks so sad.
It really does.
I love that.
Another Whimsicott.
Drillbur.
Drillbur.
Oh.
Cutiefly.
Another Relicanth.
Another Relicanth.
Oh, look at that.
Mist Energy.
That's a pretty cool looking Mist Energy. Or just being a reverse Holo Foil.
Lycanroc.
And for alligator. Oh, yeah, that was it. All right, I'll do this bunch next week.
Okay.
So think of the better ones we got out of that as probably the Raging Bolt, Explorer's Guidance, and the Bronzor illustration art. Not bad.
Yeah. So speaking of various things, I don't have a good lead in. A bunch of new giveaways and stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what do we got?
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Lyko's Sprigatito is available. In case you haven't actually seen this in action. So one of the new things that they've done in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is they have partner ribbons, which basically designate certain Pokemon as belonging to a specific person. So this is Lyko's Sprigatito. So basically when you throw the Sprigatito out and it you have your partner ribbon active, it will actually refer to it as Lyko's Sprigatito in the game. And you can get that with the code. It's basically Lyko with 906, but with the I's being ones and the O and Lyko being a zero.
What we'll do is, for those who don't know, and I'm sure someone may already probably has already done this, is we'll put all the codes for the giveaways and stuff that we're going to talk about in the Discord. So if you want to find out where to just do a quick copy paste or whatever, you can find a link to the Discord in our episode descriptions or the show description. Sorry, Christian, go ahead.
Yeah, no. The next one is there's a Palmet that is tied to the release of a song over in Japan called Beery Beery, and it's by Yaosobi.
Yaosobi.
Yaosobi. Yeah, I should
probably. My girl.
Yeah.
I love Yaosobi.
I feel like now I need to see who Yaosobi is. Yeah.
Yeah, so Yaosobi, for those who don't know, went super incredibly viral last year for creating the theme song to the anime Oshinoko.
They created
the song Idol, and it was everywhere. It was on America's Got Talent, yeah. American Idol. I mean, it was all over TikTok, social media. They're so good. I believe they're performing at Coachella this year. The duo is excellent. So as soon as I saw Yaosobi was teaming up with Pokemon, I was like, man, that's almost enough. It's almost enough to get me back.
Did you see the there was a South Korean actress, that's who it was. So they did a an honorary first pitch over the Dodgers that just went viral. Mm-hmm. Because she was she's this big South Korean actress, and basically the entire dugout was watching her do the ceremonial first pitch. It was pretty crazy. That was a fun little moment. Anything to do with Pokemon, but it was
nothing at all to do with Pokemon, but
it's just a reminder that K-pop and J-pop, they're things.
Look, that are on the rise, man.
Americans,
we love to see it. I'm into it. It gives little middle school me validation for all the hours. And this actually does tie into Pokemon because I do have a little bit of an axe to grind. And I think I have the time to grind that axe right now because
you have time. Yeah. Well, I am queuing Richard up with something that
because
I would like to bring up.
Let me have a conversation. So Pokemon Horizons is on Netflix. We've talked about it. And yet again, we do not have the Japanese dub. It's every other language you could want from Netflix. We have that dub, except for the original Pokemon one. And you might be asking, well, why is that the case? Well, some of it does.
Yeah, why is that the case?
Dub licensing. But the primary issue that has been pointed to for years at this point is about music licensing and sound licensing for the Japanese
dub. That is very
tricky. It is so complicated. The music licensing industry in Japan, it would take a mini series podcast to break down all the nuances, because little middle school me trying to listen to like Pokemon theme music or any anime theme song or closing song. Or like when I would, I like specifically, I remember trying to like buy the Kingdom Hearts Japanese soundtrack so I could have Utada Hikaru's music. Was basically impossible. These days it's so much easier. A lot of licensing and you know, streaming issues have mitigated that situation. Mm-hmm. But streaming foreign music, specifically Japanese pop and Japanese rock, like 10 years ago, was like an Olympic sport. You had to basically be in the CIA to do it. And it was so challenging. So to this day, it makes me upset that the Pokemon anime doesn't have the dub available in Japanese if what's holding it up is the music. Because I feel like we've come a long way and I deserve better. And you deserve better as fans of the show. I deserve to watch the Japanese dub. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah. Look, so I get it.
So I never realized that the soundtracks for the Japanese show, like I knew, like obviously the opening credits and stuff were totally different.
Yes.
But I didn't realize that there's a totally different soundtrack between the Japanese and the English versions. I kind of guessed that because in the last Pokemon series, when like Ash has his like final big fight, you know, they play the original theme song, you know, against Leon. So I kind of assumed that that was a bit, but I didn't realize that the entire soundtrack is like that different.
Yeah, it's all so different. And it's time and again, it is the primary focus reason why we have not been able to get the Japanese dub. It has traditionally been because of music and sound licensing in Japan, whether it's through the, you know, music company, record label, the television production company. It is the most unnecessarily complicated thing. I've been working with, you know, Japanese media for a long time, PR, you name it. I'm familiar with it. To this day, I still could not give you a concise explanation of how music licensing works with Japanese, you know, songs. It is insane. So I just look at it. I just look at Pokemon and I just say, why? I just want to watch the dub.
It's
just
so
let
funny
me watch it. But
it's,
you know,
so funny because there's a similar parallel when it comes to a good chunk of old wrestling footage.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's why I assume we haven't seen much, like, so, you know, Tony Khan, who owns All Elite Wrestling, also bought ROH, Ring of Honor, which has a history of just using a bunch of randoms because it was all live, mostly live event stuff. And so they're playing these songs at live events, but they're recording them and all that. And so, like, now it's become a real big issue. And so I imagine, so it takes teams, literally, because the WWE had licensed songs in it for a while, and then if those licenses expired and you're watching them on like the WWE network or something, you'll like hear a wrestler come out and it's very much not the music that they came out with. Like it's an approximation of it, but not that. But I would imagine you would need teams of people to go through and try and like almost redub and rescore the music in a sense.
Well, that's one of the reasons why, like, the Ring of Honor, like, you know, even though, like, I guess we're talking about wrestling now. That's one of the reasons why
we're talking music rights.
That's one of the reasons why Ring of Honor, despite the fact that, you know, Tony Khan owns the rights to it, not all the Ring of Honor episodes are available on their, like, streaming service. It's very much they do not have the streaming music rights for certain wrestlers, like, theme music, because, like, you know, some people, like, I know, like over like
Brian Danielson had, or Daniel Bryan or whatever. Final Countdown. As his song for a real long time. And I think they've gotten that one, but like, that's a great example of like, that was a song that, you know, if you didn't have Tony Khan money, you can't pay for.
Yeah. Well, it's like, even you see that even now. So like Pat McAfee, when he did his like one-off thing, you know, when he originally like came over and started doing commentary, he was going to Seven Nation Army.
Seven Nation Army.
And now they've gone to some generic
is an approximation of Seven Nation.
Yeah.
It sounds similar, but not quite.
It's not the actual thing.
Yeah.
It's not
this is just a little conversation to, you know, how the sausage is made, how the things cook up behind the scenes, and why we don't get some of the things that we really want, even though I've been waiting literal decades.
Licensing's weird. All right. Last bit of news that we wanted to bring up is a new Pokemon has shown up at Build-A-Bear, and it's everyone's favorite new Pokemon semi-official mascot, Bidoof. Richard, let's pull it up.
Bidoof.
Look.
I'm so sorry. $63 hurts. I mean,
well, that's because it's the
bundle. I understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, do we have the sound?
I love his flannel. Right? It matches Christian's flannel today.
We're matching, apparently.
Oh my gosh, yes. Now you have to get the bundle so you
can. So now Christian has to get the Bidoof bundle.
You gotta get the Bidoof bundle so you can be twinning with him.
So $63 over at Build-A-Bear.com if you want the bundle. I don't think it's an the bundle is online exclusive.
All be all, get it before it sells out.
That's true. This is probably one that will probably sell out pretty fast. Yeah. This is just given the velocity of the Bidoof meme over the last couple of years. It's going to be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to solve not one, but two Pokemon mysteries. All that and more when we're back in 60 seconds. We'll catch you then.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everyone, put on your Detective Pikachu hats, pull out your magnifying glass, and our very own appropriately surly resident Detective Pikachu, Christian Hoffer, is about to walk us through some findings.
Okay, well, so let's start with the one that, you know, it's referenced in our title and stuff like that. last week, the Pokemon Company set up a new subsidiary company called Pokemon Works. It hasn't officially announced the company, but it very notably, this company was discovered in like the business registration website over in Japan, and it notably is set up in the same location, the same office building as ILCA. So ILCA, obviously is the company that subdeveloped Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. And now, interestingly, I believe.
So I think the initial reaction is, does that mean are we getting a new remake? But that's probably not the case.
Well, and that could be one of the things. Obviously, despite the fact that, you know, Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl had, you know, some people criticized, you know, that game, you know, it seems to have been, it was a, you know, financial success for them. And it also, give me one second, because I just want to make sure that I have everything correct. It seems to have been successful for them. And we also know that the Pokemon Company has been looking to basically solve some of the technical issues caused by Pokemon, that happened in Scarlet and Violet, which were largely blamed on basically having too small of a team trying to work too fast. So we do know that the directors of the company include one of the directors of the Pokemon Company, a supervisor of Pokemon Shanghai, which is a toys company, and two directors from ILCA. So people were wondering whether or not this actually has something to do with ILCA, and it definitely seems to be a partnership between the Pokemon Company and ILCA to provide additional support for the making of future Pokemon games. We've seen that ILCA has actually done this before. They did it, I believe, with Capcom.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I'll take anything that prevents me from experiencing what I did with Scarlet and Violet, you know, barring the whole hopeful we'll have new hardware with a Switch upgrade, you know, Switch sequel. Right. Man,
But so basically they're just like, are they cleaners or are they like true? Would they be considered true support in the sense that like,
well, that's what we don't know. And also TBD. I got the company wrong. It's not Capcom. It's Bandai Namco. So they ILCA partnered with Bandai Namco to create a new studio to work on Ace Combat. So they literally.
Okay. I was about to say, I'm not impressed, but then you said Ace Combat and I said, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Cause I love Bandai Namco, number one stand, but it is very hit or miss.
Yeah. So no, I mean, but you know, the belief is this is going to be like a subsidiary that is either going to act as what's function. So, you know, peeling back the curtain a little bit, Game Freak, which is the developer of main series Pokemon games, has two development teams, Development Team 1 and Development Team 2. Development Team 1 tends to work on whatever the big game is, so that would be Scarlet and Violet. What Development Team 2 tends to work on, like sub-games, like, you know, the sequel or spin-off games, and also, like, DLC and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the problem is that, as we've seen, you know, the typical... you know, there's a certain cadence to these games releases. And even though, like, for instance, this year, we don't have a new Pokemon game coming out. It will probably be released in early 2025. You know, a lot of people think that's not enough time to properly release a game because it's about a 3-year cycle to develop a game. So this provides, you know, hypothetically, this either provides more people who can jump on to either Development Team 1 or Development Team 2, who's familiar with the making of Pokemon games to kind of help, you know, add extra manpower, or it could be another affiliate studio that can go and make games like Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, thus allowing the cycle of new games that Development Team 1 and Development Team 2, you know, to stretch out even farther to give them more time. You know, and while Game Freak, you know, we will note that, you know, while Game Freak is a relatively small development company, you know, compared to some of these like bigger ones, they bring in a lot of help. Like, for instance, Creep does all the 3D design for all the Pokemon and stuff like that. So, you know, Game Freak doesn't have to do that. So, you know, there's things that they bring in. Some of the world building for Scarlet and Violet, that was done it's the company that did Xenoblade.
So either way, it looks like this announcement and this company formation essentially is just providing more manpower.
Yeah, that's the wide belief is that this is going to be basically help is on the way, or help has arrived for the Pokemon Company and Game Freak's, you know, ability to develop. Now, very interestingly, this is the Pokemon Company that is, you know, that runs this, not Game Freak, which is, you know, another interesting thing considering the Game Freak, which co-owns the Pokemon Company. You know, we have not seen a direct connection between the two of them. Now, we know that Game Freak and ILCA have no problem working together, but it's just like it's just another little thing that, you know, is noticed. So we don't know if this could just be a way to develop entirely new games, or if it would truly be like, you know, some part of the Pokemon game creation is being funneled into Pokemon Works. This hasn't
you're
been
telling me that there is a non-zero percent chance that this company is creating my new Puzzle League game, right?
Well, okay, so that was going to be my question.
That's my question. The real question I need an answer for.
Now the real question is what would you rather, right? Like, I mean, obviously we want, you know, none of the game developers should be stressed in creating their work. But if this theoretically does relieve some pressure from them to, or give them more time because another smaller studio can come in and put out a smaller new release to give the developers more time to do the bigger game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's kind of what we're talking about here. We're not necessarily talking about taking away resources, but I think the idea is would we rather this Pokemon Works team be a team that would develop games, you know, like the puzzle game, or do we want this to be a team to come in and help get the main games out, you know, on a more reliable, consistent basis?
Well, so, and, you know, honestly, here's the thing with Pokemon spinoff games, and this is one of the reasons why I hope that this is more resources dedicated towards the main series games, because mm-hmm. the spinoff games have largely been developed by third parties, and I right. really like the creativity and the innovation that those third-party companies bring. Like, I like the fact that Pokemon Snap was not developed directly. The new Pokemon Snap was not developed by Game Freak. Like, right. you know, like, I don't have qualms with how Game Freak builds their games or anything like that, but I like other people touching the Pokemon pie too, and this is one of the ways that we get it is through spinoff games. And so, you know, what I would not like to see is that, you know, the Pokemon company go, well, now we have Pokemon Works that can make our spinoff games. We don't need third parties. Now, I don't think that would be the case, but, you know, I wouldn't want to see that at all. Because that would, I think, would actually hurt the franchise.
Hmm. Oh, so you think a company that is so like a company that's working with Game Freak to make spinoffs is worst case scenario?
Well, yeah, I don't want Pokemon Works. Let me put it this way. If Pokemon Works is developing spinoffs and that comes at the cost of other developers not working on spinoffs, I don't want Pokemon sure. Works to be working on spinoffs. Right.
Yeah.
I would rather have other companies give us their takes on the Pokemon franchise yeah. than it being
than a house style spinoff game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes yeah. sense. All right. Yeah, I mean that's probably where I lean to. Like, I would much rather get more sets of eyes on the mainline games, mm-hmm. in the sense that like maybe more resources means more like potentially more features, right? Yeah. Or like not only just like, you know, from a stability and you know standpoint, that's great, but maybe this means that you know we can get a game that has, like I said, like some more features that just extend the longevity and playability of the games that we wouldn't necessarily get because like, you know, right. Like we talk about this all the time. There's in every one of these new games, it looks like that there is a new mechanic that's being tested out that then gets more fully fleshed out in the next game. And while I think that will still continue, but maybe some of those smaller ones that are, you know, maybe a little bit more half baked or like, oh, well, let's see how this does before whatever. Like maybe that kind of stuff gets to be thought out a little bit more and just give these games a bit more depth than we have. Because I think that's probably what these games are going to have to do to keep up. Right. Like, you know, for all intents and purposes, all the mainline Pokemon games, it's all the same formula mm-hmm. with extra kind of bells and whistles. And so, you know, a game like Legend, like the Legends games seemingly have kind of turned the formula on its head a little bit. But then at what point maybe does Legends become the new main?
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so. So lots to think about here. Lots to just kind of, you know, think about all the many different directions a lot of this stuff can go, but all exciting nonetheless. We love more resources coming in for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, Christian, what's mystery number two?
So this is an older mystery that I somehow missed until literally like 35 minutes ago.
Hey, we love that.
So Pokemon. So, you know, obviously in Pokemon Home, but let's take a step back in Pokemon X and Y, and then and later on in Pokemon Sun and Moon, data mines discovered a couple of like strange things that people thought might have been, extra Pokemon. The most notably ones of these, when Pokemon Home came out, there was a cry of a Pokemon that sounded a lot like Jinx, but it wasn't Jinx. And so people wondered if it was either a new Jinx evolution, you know, or something to do with Jinx. And it turns out that it was very recently confirmed in the Pokemon Home, in a recent Pokemon Home data mine. They have confirmed that Jinx was supposed to get a Mega Evolution. So originally Jinx had a Mega Evolution and it was scrapped at some point. But that Pokemon's Cry, which we've seen pop up a few times, it was finally confirmed that, you know, Pokemon, it's 124, which is Jinx, and then the actual file is M1, which that is how all the Mega Evolutions have their cries labeled. So Jinx was originally supposed to get a Mega Evolved form. So that's been out there for the years. That's not too much of a shocking surprise, other than we finally have confirmation. And it's interesting that Pokemon never scrapped, totally got rid of that, because, you know, we have a new game involving Mega Evolution coming out here next year.
But Jinx is like, that's one of those like forever banned Pokemon.
That's the thing.
Jinx got polygoned.
Yeah.
Porygoned.
But Jinx, they did shift. So, you know, it's kind of funny because if they would have given Jinx a new final form in like similar to what they did with Magmar or, you know, Electabuzz, you know, we probably wouldn't even be talking about Jinx. It would just been a goofy middle evolution. The other thing is, and this ties back to the anime, with Sun and Moon, there were, in Sun and Moon, the anime, when they started doing the Ultra Beast stuff, there was what appeared to be an alternative form of Celesteel. I can't say it. You know, the big bamboo Pokemon. That basically, it looked like a bamboo seed. That Pokemon was also supposed to be in the game. They discovered that, you know, that Pokemon was supposed to be an alternative form, and it was supposed to be available in the game, and was supposed to be like a miniature form. It basically looks like a Bidoo in the anime. Huh. And, you know, it turns out that, you know, when they were doing the whole Ultra Beast storyline, there was supposed to be a tie-in where you could get this special form of, you know, this Ultra Beast that I'm just going to keep butchering the name, so I'm not going to try. But that also is like an official confirmation that there's, you know, more scrapped content that has been retained in Pokemon Home. Like, you know, that Pokemon's Cry is still in the game. And so this was all discovered. You know, I do need to give a shout out to the account is Matt Yukana, and that is a very well known data miner who has been data mining these games for a long, long time. So, it's really interesting that what we are getting, what we've gotten in the game. So, mm-hmm. You know, of course, the other thing is X and Y has had other cut content, most notably the Eternal Flower Floette. And so people are wondering, with Pokemon Legends EA, will we finally get Eternal Legends Floette, which has like a very powerful fairy move that's mm-hmm. like exclusive to it, which mm-hmm. we've never been able to access. So,
man, that would be I just love the idea of like scrapped concepts potentially coming back kind of thing, right? Like it's just wild to think, right? Like you got to imagine, like, there's tons of scrapped Pokemon Mon designs somewhere where I feel like if this were made by if Pokemon were an American born thing, we'd know more of that stuff or have access to that kind of stuff,
oh, right? Yeah,
because
for sure.
Just like, you know, between, you know, like we would have gotten like art books or like, you know, some of the, you know, developers, like I equate it in the same way where whenever a Marvel movie comes out, right. Or a big movie, you know, a big superhero movie comes out, you know, a bunch of the visual effects designers are putting out different ways the, you know, Captain America's costume could have looked or things like that for whatever movie. Right. And it seems more of a Western thing than anything else that I feel, like I said, if this was a more of an American-born franchise, we'd probably get more of that, or more insight into those things. But I just imagine that there's just a vault somewhere at the Pokemon company that is just unreleased Pokemon designs that I wonder, right? Like, are they pulling some off the shelf, dusting some off the shelf to then include in some of the new games, or are they kind of starting from scratch with every new game?
I mean, that's so usually some Pokemon, we do know that some Pokemon have like stuff has eventually been like incorporated into
sure.
the game. But, you know, that, well, and we've seen that, for instance, there was something recent that it seemed to have been like an early version of a beta Pokemon. That finally got its due. Maybe it was Ferrogriff. But anyway, so we've seen that they've generally they will visit stuff. I actually asked about like, you know, the third Pikachu evolution, and they gave like the whole like the dead, you know, what is in the past is dead sort of like response.
That sounds about right for PR.
But we've seen a couple times, like especially in like the Gold and Silver beta, because, you know, infamously a beta version of that. And several of those Pokemon eventually got incorporated into like Gen 3.
Well, like we talked about with Latios and Latias, right? Yep. Like, you know, and Blaziken.
Yep. Yeah. That's a really good point where they saw something they liked, decided they didn't like it enough. And then went back and like fixed it later, decided to revisit it. So it's never like a no. But I will be really curious. You know, there's a couple of interesting things that Pokemon Legends EA could do. Obviously we're finally going to get a Zygarde game. You know, that's like first and foremost, that's great. We're finally going to figure out what this Pokemon is all about, because the only reason we know anything about
this is Zygarde.
The only reason we know anything about this stupid Pokemon is because of the anime. You know, it wasn't like brought up. It wasn't brought up in the games at all. It was simply a thing that was there. And then the next game, they're like, go and find these cells if you want the Gundam version of this Pokemon. And people are like, what? So there's that. The other thing is that they might do is people have pointed out like the Tapus are not involved in they don't appear in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. You know, people wonder if that is because they are going to show up in Pokemon Legends EA and kind of be like the sub-legendaries, similar to how
the birds were
in the last Pokemon Legends, and they added the fifth form, like the genie Pokemon, or fourth one. They added a fourth one. So people are wondering, are we going to get a fifth Tapu? So there's like a lot of like cool stuff that they could do. And obviously we're going to get more Mega Evolutions, which that's fantastic.
I'm looking forward to that. Speaking on that, do you guys have a favorite Zygarde form?
I mean, not really. I didn't
I barely use them, but.
I like the 10% just because I love like the dog with like the scarf. Like that, that's like a goofy like cell design to me. I just think that's hilarious that like the dog's a fashionable dog.
That one's my least favorite.
Really?
I mean, that's the only good one in my opinion. Looking at them,
I love the snake looking one.
Oh no, that one makes me deeply uncomfortable.
No, that's the point. It's an Eldritch horror Pokemon.
Uncomfortable. That's like a monster from Evangelion right there. deep.
I actually, so like, I do like, that's one of the reasons why I like Zygarde, like that middle form is like, because it's so like unnatural and weird. Yeah. And it's like a harbinger for like the Ultra Beasts, because the Ultra Beasts all have that, like, these are Pokemon not from this dimension. And Zygarde is like a legendary that's not from this dimension. It's something dark that comes from the earth.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I even like the Gundam one too. Like the one that, to me, the one that makes no sense is the first one, is the dog one. Like, I don't.
I'm not going to blend in. It's trying to get under the radar. It wants you to be like, oh, it's a cute little dog. There's absolutely nothing weird or abnormal or extraterrestrial about this creature. It's just a dog with a scarf. I love that.
It's just a fluffy guy.
It's just a little man just trying to live his life.
You know?
It's very Men in Black to me. Like, he's trying to like blend in with society. Which is what I'm all for that. And then it's like he just gave up. It was like, I'm going to become an Eldritchian horror. Awful. Terrible. And then he becomes a Gundam. Because, of course.
Yeah, as one does.
Right. As one does. When you can't fake it anymore and pretend you're part of the, you know, human society, just transform into a Gundam.
Nothing is more apparent of a particular moment in time than a company using hexagons for like futuristic looking stuff.
Oh yeah.
Right? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, we're with you.
Yeah.
You're very correct. With
that. It was everywhere. It was futuristic or high tech or whatever. Hexagons. That was it.
Square won't do. Triangle's too simple.
Hexagon. All right, Christian, let's do the Pokemon fact of the week.
Okay, Pokemon fact of the week. So, Burmy. So, we've talked about that Burmy is based off the bagworm, which is a type of, you know, bug that utilizes its surroundings to form its, like a coat and then its cocoon. What's really interesting, though, is that Burmy's evolutionary lines also reflect the differences between the male and female evolutions. So, you know, obviously, Burmy evolves into either Wormadam if it's a female, or if it's a male, it evolves into Mothim. Well, bagworms, female bagworms, it's a very similar thing. Female bagworms also, they basically live inside the cocoon life their entire life. So while males actually turn into a moth, the females remain as a worm, which is one of those, like, little bit of an odder evolutionary change. You'd expect, honestly, kind of the opposite to be the case, just based on how a lot of evolutionary stuff actually does. But, you know, that is something that I never realized, because, you know, bagworms, I don't think they're very native to. I'm like saying, like, where are the bagworms native to?
I don't even think I could tell you what a bagworm looks like.
They're basically, so wow, there's 13,000 1,300 bagworms found globally. There are some, like the snail case bagworm, that are globally.
These are weird looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of cursed.
Isn't it?
You're not wrong.
Yeah,
these are terrifying.
I don't know another proper way to describe them other than.
Yeah, bagworms are really cool. And like the creepy, yeah, creepy.
Cool is
away.
A word for that.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
cool is a word. I guess you could use. I'm stick with curse though. That's just, you know, me and my camp over here.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, thank you, Christian, for that one. I think the most interesting fact about Burmy that I learned is what actual bagworms are. So there we go.
Well, there you go.
Go look them up. All right. But before we get to the wrap up with some business, I do want to go through some reviews. You guys have left some reviews, some interactions over on Spotify. And I've got one over on app on iTunes. This iTunes one is from Taco Boy 659, headline I Heart Pod. I love this podcast. It's the best. I love Bulbasaur and Vaporeon, but I hate Geodude. Geodude haters unite. I have two shiny Bulbasaurs and one shiny gentle Geodude on Pokemon Sleep.
Nice.
Christian, are you Taco Boy 659? Is it?
No, I'm not. No.
Man, I mean, that review went in on Geodude.
My personality is far more than just tacos.
I've got to respect how bold that was.
I mean, are there enough Geodude haters for all of them to unite? I don't know.
Yes. The answer is yes.
All right, let me get to some Spotify comments. This one's in regards to last week's episode. A Geek Son said, "Unfortunately for me, living in Australia, the Pokemon anime still isn't out on Netflix. I'll probably have to wait at least 3 months. So, guys, could be worse.
Pain.
Just FYI, could be worse. Another one from Tundra. I've been away from Pokemon in general for a while, and I've moved my gaming over to Xbox. But I still love this podcast, and I am glad I still have a way to reconnect with my childhood. Keep it up. I love that.
Hey, we love that.
Yeah. Let's see, what else we got? Nate West, love the podcast, turning 30, and you guys revitalized my love for Pokemon. Been listening since episode 50. My favorites are Magmar and Rhyhorn.
Rhyhorn's a good one.
What? So is Magmar. I like Magmar, but I like those.
Magmar, when I think about it, what it would look like in real life, it just deeply upsets me.
Fair. And I think the last one, I think this will cover us for the ones I missed from our Pokemon Day Presents recap episode. One from Than Than. Pretty good. Yeah, hey, I think so.
You know what? That was a pretty good review.
Yep. And then we had another comment from our good friend McGundam. Pokemon Pocket, I think, will be to me as Pokemon Sleep is to Christian. I've done the Star Wars tops and Disney cards. Disney was the least exciting, where Star Wars was, and then continued in Discord, which in Discord he said has become a problematic habit for him, but he loves it. and then apparently Geekson, also our Australian fan, said that our biggest grocery store chain, Coles, C-O-L-E-S, not like the clothing store here in the States, Coles, where you get Coles Cash, K-H-O-L-S, is doing a Pokemon collaboration. Could be something to talk about on the show. Tune in next week where we look into it.
Tune in next week. We just have a
problem with Coles. I'm just going to see if I can do a real quick... I can't spell Australia, so I can't do a quick Google search. Oh, here we go. Oh, there is a thing. What is Pokemon Builders? Oh, this looks like a Kohl's thing. This is a Kohl's specific thing. Hold on. It looked that they kind of look
innovative and fun. It's basically they're like little paper figurines.
Yeah. Every $30 you spend on groceries, you get one of 35 Kohl's Builders. And look, with inflation these days, spending $30 on groceries is really easy, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. To be fair, $30 Australian dollars is only $19.66 in US dollars. So really, that's all you need to do is spend $20 on groceries in US dollars. That, in order to go and get yourself one of those pretty cool looking Pokemon builders, man.
I'm gonna send it to Richard. Oh, this looks like it's only part of the image. Never mind, Richard. Hold on, I'm gonna send you a link.
If I lived in Australia, this definitely seems like something I would definitely want to do. Did you know it's plastic?
These feel like Happy Meal toys, but for grocery shopping.
No, here's the thing.
Yeah,
Crash Vaporeon is not one of the options.
And you could actually get a collector's case and a playset. What a great value from Kohl's, your friendly local
Australian
groceries.
Yes, this is in Australia.
If you live in Australia, you have no reason not to go to Kohl's and tell them a wild podcast has appeared. Sent you.
They have Umbreon and Espeon, but not Vaporeon. Trash.
You can buy a complete set on eBay for $50.
Only so $50?
For less than twice the cost of two, you can buy the full set.
What a value. And you can only find that on eBay. Pay us money, eBay.
I'm just trying to find a picture of like what these actually. Okay, so they're like cardboard cutout standee things. Okay.
Yeah, because they're like plastic free, environmentally friendly, right. All that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But they don't have Vaporeon, so it's trash, and I don't care.
Here, hold on, Richard. I'm going to
send you. But you know what? Link. If you throw your Pokemon builders in the trash, it decomposes because they're made of paper, no plastic involved.
So are you saying Pokemon builders don't give us Pokemon fossils?
Yeah, no, they don't because they're eco-friendly. Kohl's, the eco-friendly grocery store in Australia.
Look, anything to help get people into the grocery store, I think, is really what is really.
You gotta teach them to young how to get groceries. You gotta really, 5 years old. Come on.
Here's what they look like. I found one on eBay. Yeah, you pop them out basically. Richard, go in and zoom in on just like a section of one if you can. Just click right in there. So that's kind of what they look like.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So they're kind of like those like paper theater things that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's still trash because they don't have Vaporeon. But if they decide to release a new set with Vaporeon, I will rescind my declaration and I'll say it's pretty cool.
It's a complete set of 35 that right now you can get for $32.
$32.
You probably pay the same for shipping. Because it's going to come halfway offer. Across the world.
But don't forget,
we're better buy it now because it's also the last item
available at that shop, man. So if
you imagine like people are running to Kohl's like they did to McDonald's for Pokemon cards and just buying like or getting packs of these that just fell off a truck kind of thing, right? To scalp on the secondary market. These are children's toys, giveaways. Do you imagine someone's parents spending $30 on groceries and not being able to get one of these because their shipment fell off the back of a truck and ended up on eBay?
So there are 850 Kohl's located across Australia. Also, they have a liquor division. Very important.
Wait, can you spend 30 Australian?
Can you buy 30 bucks worth of beer to get... to get one of these?
Could you still do that? Because that's even better, honestly. Though, drink responsibly.
honestly, gotta say a big thank you to our Australian fan for pointing that out to us, because we spent more time on Kohl's Builders than we did on the Pokemon Fact of the Week this week. So, so there
truly,
you go.
My mind is now open
totally to, lost the,
to
plot.
The global landscape of grocery stores.
All right. With that said, head on over to Discord. Find the link in the episode description, the podcast description, or a pinned post over on X at Pokemon Pod CB is the handle there. Lots of folks joining every day, and we love to see that great community over there. You can find folks to raid with, you can find folks to share memes with, share facts with, news with, etc. It is the most on the pulse Pokemon community, I would feel that we've got. So definitely check it out. Otherwise, if you want to continue the conversation with us, like I said, our handle over on X is at Pokemon Pod CB. You can find me at Jim Viscardi, Megan is at Megan Peter CB, and Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. May the shiny luck be in your favor, folks, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.